I know you, and you, and you, and you. She said these words in Spanish as she pointed us out among the rest of our sun-soaked teammates in a small, dusty community in El Salvador. She had our attention, and we were drawn in. You see, for 2 years, as a result of the pandemic, we were unable to go to El Salvador, where we've been sending shelter teams, or teams with Shelter Canada since 2009. During those 2 years, a few people from our church family accepted the invitation to do a virtual mission trip, to connect virtually and contribute time and prayer and finances to seeing a few houses built for families in extreme material poverty. This woman in the picture owned one of those houses. Undoubtedly, during 2020 and 2021, we rightly thought, does it make a difference? Does it matter as much because we can't go there? But on that first afternoon of our first in-person trip in 3 years, Pat Halls wrote about this in his blog. Those questions were quickly answered. Those doubts were put to rest. This woman told us that her husband left her and her 5 girls a year after the house was built. However, because of the house, she was able to work away from the community, knowing the girls would be safe. So when she said, I know you, 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 and you, well, she confused Dave Archer with Jason Graziano, actually. So which one of you wants to be complimented by that? I don't know, but you figure that out. She was expressing gratitude for God's provision, shelter from the heavy rains and the storms, and security and safety without which her girls would be much more vulnerable. 2 years ago, just a moment in time, that had lasting evidence of the life of Jesus flowing through our lives. So when Jesus describes himself with these words, I am the true vine, he immediately had everybody's attention. Skeptics, those who oppose him, those who are learning from him, they were all drawn in by his words. The opening words with which Jesus speaks declares an unparalleled authority that he has through his eternality and his equality with God the Father. I am is how God introduces himself to Moses. And through that encounter, we have come to understand that God sees our circumstances, he hears our cries, and he is moved by compassion and has a desire to enter into those circumstances and lead us through. John's gospel leads us through a kaleidoscope of meaning to the character of God through the I am statements of Jesus. And Jesus uses these statements to speak to the relationship that he offers to us. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so now, when he describes himself by saying, I am the true vine, the curiosity deepens all the more. What he is saying is, I can make your life count, transforming you to be a blessing to others. In biblical terms, we call that fruitfulness. In so doing, we are being asked if we will let the life of Christ flow through our lives. Now, many of you listening or watching in the first century would be just like those listening and watching in the first century. Who would remember that the vine is one of the symbols frequently used in the Old Testament and in Judaism to refer to the nation of Israel. Isaiah has an extended use of this image in what is subtitled the Song of the Vineyard. We found in Isaiah chapter 5. It concludes with these words, the vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines that he delighted in. And he looked for justice, but he saw bloodshed. For righteousness, but he heard cries of distress. Throughout the Old Testament, this imagery of the vine is consistent. God is the gardener. He remarks on the purpose of the vine and the need for judgment because of a lack of fruitfulness. In fact, this theme of judgment accompanies virtually every use of the term vine imagery used in the Old Testament. God's desire has been and continues to be that we as his people would remain connected to the vine to further the work of justice and righteousness to the people of the world. That theme of judgment is continued then when Jesus speaks here in John chapter 15. Let's recall the first few verses in this chapter. "I am the true vine," Jesus starts, "and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." The Gospel of John is one of four written accounts of the life of Jesus, written well after the other three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. This book is a reflective look back by John at the life of Jesus. When we're first introduced to John, we meet him as a contentious, prideful fisherman. However, over the course of the few short years that he spent in the company of Jesus and a number of decades living under the influence of the Holy Spirit, John's perspective and his character have significantly changed. His writings display the evidence of these changes. And as Patrick shared well with us over the last couple of weeks, the Apostle John is the most prolific teacher other than Jesus about the subjects of selfless love and God's truth. In addition, Patrick also pointed out that there is a term that John uses more than any other writer. It's the word abide, or as some of our English translations will say, remain. As someone who was susceptible to allowing his emotions to get in the way, get the better of him, we can likely say that John had to learn to abide before he could write about what abiding looks like. The term abide is summed up in Jesus' words. I'm going to read them from the Message version of the Bible because sometimes in our familiarity we can lose track of the meaning. So listen to this from the Message, starting in verse 4. "Live in me. Make your home in me just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. I am the vine, you are the branches. When you are joined with me and I with you, the relation is intimate and organic. The harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is, when you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done, kept my Father's commands and made myself at home in his love." Remaining or abiding is the process of submitting myself, ourselves, to God and his truth, so that the life of Jesus, he who is the true vine, will flow through my life. It's a life that's lived in obedience to God the Father, in response to God the Spirit, and empowered by the Son. as we will learn, to abide is crucial to informing how we serve, pray, and respond in the grace of God. And at the SCMC, we refer to this as spring. It's a means by which we engage our relationships, our ministries, and our activity in the community. These verses, as I mentioned, represent our theme verses for 2023. And I invite you to read them over and over again, maybe even memorize them. But more than that, we invite you to live them out in your daily lives. And so in order to do that, we have designed a devotional for you. Some of you have seen that already through our webpage or our social media. Some of you have picked up a paper copy here in the foyer, the counters in the foyer. But I want to go through it a little bit just in case you haven't yet, or maybe you've started and have stopped. There are four really key pieces to this. One is to help us learn dependence on God's truth. There are suggested readings to help us engage with God's truth. There are three tracks for that. One track will take you through the Bible in the whole year. The second track is designed to take you through the New Testament in a year. And the third track is really designed to narrow our focus on who Jesus is. You'll read through the Gospels, the four Gospels, three different times as you go through the year. And as we come to the end of the year, you'll read about the significance of his birth from a compilation of different scriptures. Each track has five readings per week. This allows room for reflection and room for days missed. Anybody ever miss a day on anything that you've started? So there's grace involved in there. The importance for us is not the quantity that you read, rather it's on the interaction with God through your learning. Don't be satisfied with just reading. Secondly, there's a commitment to regular prayer. We want to encourage regular prayer. And there's also a sample journal that has a separate button on our resource page. And it's still attached to the sheet out there. It has a separate button so that you can use it. If you have your own devotional practice, maybe this will be a good supplement to what you're already doing. It reinforces the concepts of being unhurried, being attentive and interactive with God based upon what you're reading. Remember not to just speak or write, but to take time then to listen to God. It encourages that listening. And our desire is for you to find or deepen the joy of knowing him by being known by him. And so the outline for that goes something like this. You write your key Bible passage, and then you say, well, what's one thing that I'm learning about God? And then you'll say, well, what's one thing that I'm learning about me as I think about what I'm learning about God? And it encourages you to give pause to think, what does God want me to change or confess? What does God want me to do? Or who does God want me to be? How is he compelling me to be? It also encourages you to grow in gratitude. What am I thankful to the Lord for? It encourages you to share with somebody, to connect with them, to extend grace toward them. It encourages you to pray for, get involved with a community, national, or global need that God wants you to, God particularly draws your attention to. The third aspect is to grow in your desire to be obedient to God. Your goal in using this tool should be to follow the Lord in obedience to the word that you read, not simply to be satisfied with reading. Discover the joy that God promises as you allow him to transform your thinking and your activity. Fourthly, deepen your love for people. We encourage you to talk to God on behalf of those around you, of our church family, the needs in our community, your family, your friends, our ministry partners. There is power and privilege in being used of God to help others according to God's purposes. So let's live it together. Let's encourage one another in this. And let's learn from one another along the way. We'd love to hear what you're learning. It's our prayer that this tool can be an aid in developing you to be a genuine, fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. May your life bear much fruit. So what about that fruit? Let me ask you this question. How much fruit is enough? Or how will that fruit be used? Or this one, how long should you be bearing fruit? You see, neither the quantity or the purpose of the fruit is given to us here in this passage. Those are in the hands of the gardener. In remaining, in abiding, in living in Jesus, we submit ourselves to being wrapped, enveloped, held by Jesus, the true vine, and cared for by the unrelenting love of God. Through our willful submission, fruitfulness is the result. And one of the evidences that we read is of fruitfulness is joy. In verse 11, it says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. As we were reminded in our previous series, joy from a biblical perspective comes from the assurance that God is present, that he is in control, and that he will redeem the brokenness of our lives into something that reflects his greater glory. It is the confident assurance that God is in control, even when we can't see it. It is not emotionally driven or governed by circumstance. Joy, biblical joy, is a characteristic of Jesus that needs to sink deeply or abide with us, remain in us. Jesus speaks these words of abide or remain in this passage in a culmination of a series of uses that stretch back to the previous chapter. And if you were to flip back to John chapter 15, there you'll notice how abiding, staying connected to or steadfast in, being united together, defines the relationship of Jesus to God, our Heavenly Father. You'll notice how abiding also describes the relationship that Jesus has with the Holy Spirit, and with the promise of that the ministry of the Spirit will have with us when we accept Christ as our Savior. Because of the living reality of Father, Son, and Spirit, we can have increased confidence. This confident assurance in the example and the promise of Jesus provides joy for us. Joy is a steadying force that allows us to demonstrate courage and perseverance to overcome fear with love. Jesus returns to deepen our concept of love here in this passage, and he picks it up again in verses 12 and 13 when he says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." You know, like you, like many of you, I also, in my familiarity with the passage, can gloss over these words. Right. I got it. We've got to love. Pat told us last week, stop reminding us. Love. Right? And yeah, okay, I get it. Jesus gives us the greatest example, right? He gives the greatest sacrifice. We need to love like Jesus. Move on. You ever feel that way sometimes? We need to love like Jesus. But we do. We need to love like Jesus, not just an idealistic concept of love. Love like Jesus with a willingness to sacrifice for the benefit of others. People need to know that they are loved. Love is not self-serving, but seeks to benefit others. Sacrificial generosity is rarely convenient. It is often messy. It is sometimes painful. It is often hard, and it is impossible to do on our own strength and by our own determination. We must learn to allow the love of Jesus Christ to move through our lives by the power that God gives us towards others. Love is expressed in our service to others. The life of Christ isn't just to flow into our lives, but to flow through our lives towards the lives of others. As branches infused with the life of Christ, we will deepen our humility to trust him. We will grow in our desire to live out his truth. And we will be steadied in joy. We will be resilient in prayer. We will be sacrificially generous in service. In all things, we ought to be characterized by this kind of love. This is what it means to let the life of Christ flow through our lives. However, understand this. We are to continually allow for the rhythm and process of fruitfulness in our lives. Through confession of sin, we clear the arteries under the surface to receive the nourishment that we gain from the truth of God as we interact with God's truth. When Jesus says that he is the true vine, it gives us room to consider the fact that there are other vines that vie for our attention and vie for desire for us to connect to. It is possible that our thoughts and actions are being informed by sources other than Jesus and the truth revealed through his life. When the evidence or fruit of our lives is contradictory to the character and the truth of Jesus, then it's important to consider what is informing those things. Pruning is part of that process. There may be seasons of time where the evidence of our relationship results in a certain way. And we might really like that. However, that might just be for a season. We can be guilty of trying to take control of those results and resist the pruning that God wants to do in our lives. In those times, it's important to understand, to realize that by remaining in, abiding in, staying connected to Jesus allows a new season of fruitfulness to occur. As branches, we must remain connected to the vine, knowing that God is preparing us for the good work that he's already positioned us to do. Our conversations with God allow for the life of Jesus to strengthen our lives. You know, we sometimes read these words. Did you read these words? Ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. Have you ever heard those words before? And maybe you pull those right out and maybe you throw them at somebody else. Maybe you use them for yourself. I can just ask for what I want. In isolation from everything else around it, we sure can make a mess of it. And then when we don't get what we want, what do? We blame God. We blame God because things didn't happen the way that we said they ought to happen. This invitation by Jesus to conversation with him is one of the benefits of a nurturing relationship between he and us. It's an exclusive invitation that reflects the glory of God, and it's a promise that motivates us to generous and sacrificial service in keeping with the example of Jesus. You see, as we grow in our relationship with Jesus, our prayer life should be informed by his characteristics at work in and through us. This promise that Jesus makes is one that he is repeating from chapter 14. He wants us to understand this. He's repeating it for a reason. There's things that he desires for us to see and witness that only he can do. And then you say, and I say, yeah, but is that possible? Is that even possible? This past week, a group of 25 leaders from across Canada came together with now what is 42 staff of shelter in El Salvador, Salvadorans employed through our work there. We gathered to consider questions just like these that we've raised and others like them. I've had the privilege of serving on the board of shelter for these last 11, 12 years since it started. Our conclusion is that we must continually submit ourselves to Jesus to do this work of righteousness and justice that brings glory to God in the country of El Salvador. Together, we have set some big goals. This year, our desire is to see 800 families receive homes. Our desire is to see 5,300 houses built in the next 5 years to reach our 10,000th home, easy for you to say, by the year 2027. And just to put that in context, that increase would represent more houses in the next 5 years than we've built in the last 20 years. To accomplish this, our strategy is to stay focused on Jesus. Give thanks to Jesus at every step. Seek to give glory to Jesus for the things that he accomplishes, and to ask Jesus for resources, for a vision that seems far beyond anything that we can imagine. Human, material, and monetary resources to make that happen. It's a vision centered on the glory of God. On Friday, this just 2 days ago, our group visited historic San Salvador to appreciate the beauty and some of the historic brutality of the country. One of those sites was the crypt of a man named Oscar Romero. He was a Catholic priest who served in the country during the Civil War years of the 70s and 80s. Well, actually, he didn't make it all the way into the 80s. He was neither popular with his peers because of his conservative views, nor was he popular with the government because of his love for the common people. When a friend of his was killed for speaking up for the poor and the marginalized and the oppressed in the country, Romero committed himself to going into the mountain villages to be among the people in some of the very same communities where our teams have worked over these last number of years, sharing with them the life and the love of Jesus, letting them know. Here's a couple of things that he shares in his writings. He says, if we are worth anything, it is not because we have more money or more talent or more human qualities. Insofar as we are worth anything, it is because we are grafted onto Christ's life, his cross, and his resurrection. That is a person's measure. And speaking of the role of the church in this, he says, it is entering into the reality of a child, of the poor, of those wearing rags, of the sick, of a hovel, of a shack. It is going to share with them. And from the very heart of misery of this situation, to transcend it, to elevate it, to promote it, and say to them, you are not trash. You are not marginalized. In fact, it's to say the exact opposite. You are valuable. Oscar Romero was targeted and killed with a rifle shot to the chest. No charges were ever laid. He was seen as a threat to both government and to the rebels of the day. He laid down his life for his friends, the marginalized, the neglected. His prayer is being answered by people like us, by organizations like Shelter in the country of El Salvador. Our prayer locally is the same. We will continue to serve our community in the name of Jesus. We desire to see all people understand their value as friends of Jesus, and we want to see men and women and boys and girls find their faith in Jesus Christ as instruments or branches of the vine. We are to allow the justice and righteousness of God to be demonstrated through our lives as we pray for and serve others sacrificially and generously, not according to our comfort, but for the glory of God, following the example of Jesus. We are the branches. We are the means by which the work of Christ is displayed to those around us. Only if we choose to daily abide, to allow the life of Christ to flow through us. May it be so in your life and in mine. Let's pray together. So Father, we come before you this morning and we say thank you. Thank you for your desire to hang on to us, to connect to us, to submit, to provide a means by which we can remain connected to you. And so, God, in so doing, we say forgive us as well for trying to pull away or maybe trying to draw life from other sources. Would you forgive us for that? We desire, God, that you would use our lives to demonstrate your goodness to those that you've placed around us. We don't know how you're going to do it, given some of our circumstances, but Father, would you do that? And for some of us, Father, it's going to take some change in our routines or schedules to allow time for you to speak into our lives. Would you help us with that? But in all things, God, may we be a people used of you so that men and women and boys and girls would find faith in Jesus Christ. Would you work through our partnerships? Would you work through our relationships? Would you work in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our schools? That together we might glorify you for the good things that you will do. As we commit ourselves to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.